like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Sally Williams, founder and director of the Brody Fund, which helps pay for the treatment of pets diagnosed with cancer when their humans can't afford it, provided the animals are patients at specific veterinary hospitals in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, or Colorado. Williams launched her organization in New Jersey in 2015 with her cat Brody, was undergoing radiation treatment. She learned firsthand about not only the emotional travails of having a pet diagnosed with cancer, but also the difficulties of trying to secure financial assistance for the treatment, often made more challenging if the pet is older or has a poor prognosis. Williams has carefully widened out the reach of the Brody Fund, in part because it has opted not to cap its grant amount, which is significant given that the treatment is often very expensive. We'll hear more about the history and evolution of the Brody Fund and how it works today, including some unusual grants they additionally offer, when I speak with Sally Williams in a few moments here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Later in the program, I'll speak with Thomas Ponce, a guest on Talking Animals almost exactly 3 years ago when he was 15 and already an experienced activist and the founder at 12 of Lobby for Animals, which reflects Ponce's belief that lobbying is the most effective method to effect true, meaningful change for animal welfare. He's launched a fundraiser chiefly because his computer recently died. Much of his Lobby for Animals work is conducted on a computer, including software that tracks the status of various pieces of legislation. We'll speak with Thomas later on in the program. Meanwhile, a programming note for next week's show, my guest will be St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman. If you want to know why Mayor Kreisman will be on Talking Animals in studio, streaming on Facebook Live, no less, I suggest you tune in next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Meanwhile, it's incumbent on me to mention that WMNF's Summer Fun Drive starts 2 weeks from tomorrow, and I would love to get a running start on my Godzilla-sized fundraising goal. I'd like to urge you to consider making an early pledge to support Talking Animals and me. If you appreciate the work we do, the interviews we conduct each week, the public service we aim to provide, please keep us going with an early pledge, which you can arrange by emailing me at duncan@wmnf.org. As always, we'll have exceptional thank you gifts exclusive to Talking Animals, that is, that you can only get by pledging in support of Talking Animals, including a pair of amazing tickets to see Queen at Amalie Arena. Or if you just like to donate and give us a little help, a little running start, simply drop something in the Talking Animals tip jar, which you can find on WMNF.org. Any early donation of any amount in that way will be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Right now, let's get to Sally with the reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is Sally Williams on Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, of course, we'll discuss the Brody Fund in some detail in a moment, but I want to first explore your history with cats. I know the phrase cat lady often carries something of a dismissive implication, sort of suggesting sometimes an eccentric woman who may or may not have a hoarding issue. But I also think there's a complementary counterpart to that phrase, indicating someone who has a long history and kind of a strong kinship, I guess, with cats. So I'm guessing that version of the phrase might seem kind of fitting for you. Yes?
Absolutely. And I am not one of those that feels that that negativity when I'm referred to as a cat lady. Sometimes the crazy cat lady image, and then I say, no, it's crazy for cats, which is absolutely true. And they have always been a part of my life. from the very beginning, and I tell this story with great fondness, having lost my mom last year. She was the original in the family, and it was when she was pregnant with me. Our cat, Sandy, slept on her belly, and I think that started it right there. And
wow.
That there was this little person there inside, and then he slept in my bassinet, much to all of my mother's friends' dismay, with the myth of stealing the baby's breath. But clearly, I have survived, and Sandy was a huge influence on my life.
So, was Sandy the only cat in the house in those earliest years?
At that time, yes.
Okay.
So, a dog and a cat in the home. And I love the dog. We had a gorgeous little basset hound. But I felt like I understood Sandy and we had this connection. And at a very young age, I became a pet sitter, you know, probably getting about a quarter to feed the neighbor's cat, and loved it. And so I was a businesswoman with cats at a very young age.
Wow, okay. So I think we are getting the fuller picture of the good version of Cat Lady that definitely does apply in all those good ways to you.
Yeah, thank you.
So how many cats at this point would you say have been your own companions over the years?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. I think I have had in my life now 10, 11 cats.
Wow, okay.
Currently, I have 4 in my house.
Okay, is that about the max that it's been at any given moment?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay,
yeah,
so you kind of cap it at 4.
Well, typically, it was about 2 at a time, and I always thought I'd be a 2-cat, 1-dog household, and I never realized my husband didn't want to have a dog in his life. So I kind of figured that about the size of the dog I would like would equal about 2 cats. So we had the room, and we adopted 2 more.
Well, that's the mathematical machinations of someone who's a true cat person. Then it's like, hey, if we're not getting the dog, pal, we're going to get this many more cats. I like that.
Yeah, I just, as a shelter volunteer, you know, I believe in adoption, and I believe in rescue. And if you have the means and you have the space, I certainly have the big enough heart to welcome them into my home. And people that love animals know this. They give us way more than I could possibly give them.
For sure. Is there, in your view, a number of cats in a household that's too many?
Obviously, there are situations that are quite sad, and I think that generally they start out with good intentions of people wanting to rescue. So I don't know that I could put a number on it. I have some friends who have 6 or 8, and some people might think, ooh, that's a lot. But they're well cared for. They can afford, you know, the regular vet visits. They're loved. I think it all, you know, so I think that's kind of a tough question. But I do think at some point you could cross a line. And like I said, it's often well-intentioned.
Sure.
But we have helped cases where of cats that have come from hoarding homes. So I understand that as well.
And plus, there's that kind of in-between space of not anywhere in the ugly, complicated hoarding territory, but people who do have kind of a large number of cats that, as you indicated, are well looked after and see the vets and whatever. And sometimes you'll ask them how many cats, and there's a long pause, and
yeah,
often
there is.
And often no answer, especially if there's some kind of municipal limit on the kind of animals you can have. So.
Yeah, but I mean, my feeling is, you know, 4 to me is work. You know, every day I am making sure that they're fed and that the litter box is cleaned, and also that they're getting the proper amount of enrichment. Cats need daily playtime. So it really is what's manageable as well. I mean, I want to make sure my guys are happy in my home, not just healthy, but also happy.
For sure. Well, let's let folks know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Sally Williams, president and director of the Brody Fund, which helps pay for the treatment of pets diagnosed with cancer when their humans can't afford it. We'll find out some of the more specific elements of that in just a moment. If you'd like to ask Sally a question in the meantime or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So tell me about Brody, your organization's namesake, obviously.
Yes. It was one of those things where we adopted Birdie driving around one day. Cat had recently passed away, and I just turned to my husband and I said, I think today is the day. I just felt it. And we went to our local shelter, and there was this kind of funny looking about 6-7 month old cat. And he was super friendly, which is not typically what I look for. I try to look for ones that seem a little bit shy or reserved or that have been passed over. And I'm not quite sure why Brody was passed over, other than he was kind of an odd looking young cat with very vocal. He definitely had some Siamese or Oriental short hair in him, and maybe people didn't enjoy his voice. But he fit into our family so beautifully. In the shelter world, we call cats like that bulletproof. So in a sense that he's perfect. He could go to a household with adults, with kids, with dogs, with cats. And there was nothing that would have upset Birdie. He was fine in the car. He did well at vet visit. I think at the time I really thought about it, he would have been the perfect therapy cat. And it really didn't cross my mind. And then fast forward to he was 12 years old, and he'd been healthy, perfectly healthy his entire life. And I'm very good about my regular vet visits.
Mm-hmm.
And he started sneezing. And, you know, that wasn't in itself concerning. I thought, well, maybe he has an upper respiratory infection or some allergies of some sort. And that seemed to be the consensus among the veterinary community as well. So we treated it as such. And eventually the treatment just wasn't making a difference. And then the sneezes, not to be too graphic, had some blood in them.
Mm.
And we realized that there was likely more going on. And we pursued, he had a funny little area in his mouth that we thought, oh, maybe it's a tooth affecting his sinuses and we're taking the wrong approach. We pulled the tooth, and when we did that, we biopsied, and we found that he had cancer. He had a nasal tumor, which is unfortunately treatable, but not something that's in the curable forms of cancer. So it was difficult. It was one of those things where my husband and I were coming at it from two different approaches. I immediately thought, oh, we're going to treat him no matter what. He said, well, you know, this is a family pet kind of a thing. And this is not a any kind of a put down of my husband, because he was open-minded. He says, you know, I want to talk to the vet with you. So we went in, and I think part of the thing was we had an amazing vet, Dr. Justin Lewis at Red Bank Veterinary Hospital, who really explained everything and kind of walked us through how Birdie would feel, and especially since the type of cat he was, this would be, it's not easy, and I can't say it's the right decision for everyone by any means. It's 4 weeks of radiation, 5 days a week. But Brody was the type of cat that when he was in the vet's office, he just wanted to be friends with everybody and trusted the process. And so if we were going to do this, he was the cat that could handle this. And not that there weren't a few bumps along the way as the tumor was dying, but the treatment did what it was supposed to do, and we had 13 months after treatment ended, which is really, in the case of something that's not going to have a cure, you want the gift of time. And that's what the Birdie Fund is all about, giving the gift of time, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, a year, or remission, whatever it is, we want to give the gift of time. And that all started with Brody and the visit. I apologize if my voice is raspy. We were at events all weekend, so
no problem. No, that's
a little crackly today.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So I definitely have some follow up questions about that, and yeah. I may or not even have my own sort of personal thing to offer. But we've got a couple of callers that have been holding, so let's get at least one of them involved in the conversation. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sally Williams. Hello, it's you.
This is Bob in Tampa.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I want to tell a little of my history before I ask the important question. I came down to Florida with four cats, and I adopted a couple where we were living first in a trailer park, and then got a house with a fenced-in yard, and we had some females dumping babies on us. So eventually, right now, I've got 16 cats outside. One inside that has leukemia that I treat and give him food supplements like I forget what it's called, gluten. But there's two food supplements that the vet said to give him, and every now and then he starts getting the cough, getting antibiotics. So we're keeping it at bay, and I know how to handle that. Feels good to be able to do that. My question is, I've been trying to get some kind of financial help to help me with not so much food, but getting their rabies, because I get them all vaccinated. Some of them I have to trap to do it, but I get them vaccinated every year. And do you know anywhere where I can actually get some financial help? I tried GoFundMe, but they said they don't do that. It wasn't qualified.
I I mean, I don't know what it's like down. I'm in New Jersey, and I'm happy to, if you go onto our website, it has an email. I'm happy to, if you email me, try to help you navigate that, because I know it could be challenging. Up here, we usually have low-cost clinics affiliated with shelters. I don't know if you have any resources like that near you.
Yeah, we do.
With it, and there may be some other ways.
I'm sorry?
There may be some other ways that I'm, as I said, if you want to send me an email at sally@birdiefund.org, I might be able to help you navigate this a little bit.
You know what? I can't find a pen to write that down.
Well, you can always check back on the, eventually, 2 or 3 days from now, we'll have an archive up on the Talking Animals website, talkinganimals.net, and that'll have a link to the
and
website.
If you go right to the website.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, thebirdiefund.org, if you just Google.
Yeah, so we're going to move on, Bob, but thank you so much for your call.
Thank you,
right.
Bob.
Bye-bye. So, Sally, a couple things about your Brody story. One thing is, I mean, it's great that he responded so well to treatment. And one of the things I've kind of learned more directly recently, in fact, after we booked this interview, one of our own cats, unfortunately, it looks like has lymphoma. And so we're kind of sorting out what to do, partly because a needle biopsy didn't really turn up anything conclusive. But anyways, that's sort of a side note, which we may not come back to. But one of the things that relates to your Brody story, I think, and just generally, is seemingly, from what I gather so far diving into this recently, that the cats or other animals, I guess, too, respond very well often to the kind of treatment without the kind of side effects that we as humans associate with either radiation in this case. So it's great that Brody responded so well and had, do you say, another 13 months or so after the treatment ended, which certainly
Well, first let me say how sorry I am that you are on the journey. I am as well, so I know I'm going through this with my cat Marlin right now, and many of us animal lovers will experience this just because of the numbers. But it is important, and I would say that, you know, I don't want to generalize too much. There will be a dog or cat out there that either due to the progression of the disease or other things going on that might not feel optimal during treatment. But as a general rule, you know, they don't respond to treatments the way we think of in humans. They don't have those. And if they do have side effects, they tend to be easily controllable. And cats especially seem to do really well. My Marlin is 9 months into chemotherapy, and dogs on the type of treatment that he's getting will more commonly have gastrointestinal issues, but that can be managed. Marlin, however, does not have that. Marlin's biggest issue and really only issue, and so it's minor, is that, and I was unaware, and cat people know this, many, many cats that are adopted from shelters have the herpes virus. And it's really not much to be concerned about. Sometimes, an eye will get a little runny or it might get a little sneezy, but it's very manageable. I was not aware that he had this until he started chemo, and his eye started weeping a little bit. And after discussion, we found out that as his immune system was suppressed through chemotherapy, this was happening. And so he just gets some eye drops. But that's really been it. And we're 9 months in, and his personality is great, and he eats like a champ. He's still the same. Marlin's still the same cat. So we really find that that's often true, that, you know, that they just don't have the same response. And I've been through, Brody had radiation treatment, and his side effect was losing hair on his face that after treatment grew back in and grew back in a different color. That happens often. So his hair was white there. Surgery, which, you know, Marlin had surgery and recovered very quickly. And then he started his treatment of chemotherapy shortly after surgery and is doing great. And people should know that in a case like Marlin's, where it's mast cell cancer, his cancer is also behaving atypically, more as if he were a dog. So he's had multiple mast cell tumors and gets a regular dose of chemo. But, you know, it's just, he's 9 months in, and he's doing great. And this is a cat that, had I not had him at the vet and we didn't have the diagnosis, he wouldn't be with us.
Yeah.
So it's important that people understand that this treatment is literally his life. It keeps him alive. And I would say this too. I know Marlin has cancer. Marlin doesn't know he has cancer. And I think that's really important. And for people going through it, it's good to have a support system for not just the cat. You know, Marlin has a wonderful team of doctors and techs and huge support on an Instagram page. But I have I'm the one who really is the one who has to make sure I'm taking care of myself and managing my feelings of having a pet with cancer, because there's a lot that goes along with that. And so Marlon, when we talk about it, I really try to stress, Marlon does not know he has cancer. He's living his best life, and that's really important.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that brings up a few more questions that I have, but let's get another one of our callers involved. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sally Williams.
Hi, is it my turn?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, great. I'm a volunteer with Cat Haven Cat Rescue. We adopt our cats out of the Petco on Bruce B. Downs by County Line Road.
Okay.
And we have so many cats, and we need people to come in and really start stepping up and adopting some of these cats, especially some of these adult cats. We've had them a year. They're not as cute as kittens anymore, but they have amazing personalities, and they make such good companions for people. A lot of times we have people balking at the $85 adoption fee, but I don't think people realize that we rescue them from the animal shelter in Hillsborough County, where they're put down. They're euthanized within 2 hours. If someone drops off kittens without a mother, they don't have the staff feed them every 2 hours. So they put out an all-call, and if a rescue group doesn't pick them up, they euthanize, and we have like 2 hours to get out there. So that's where many of these cats have come from, and we pay all their vet bill. We pay for all their food, their litter. They're fostered in homes, so they're all very much socialized. And we're really trying to work on some community outreach to get people to come in and have a look at our cats and make some friends with them. So, you know, they're all beautiful cats, and they deserve good homes.
Okay, if you want to give us a quick either website or a Facebook page location.
Go to Cat Haven Facebook,
mm-hmm.
And we're at Petco on Brewski Down every Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4.
Okay.
I'd like to say something. I just want to say thank you for all the amazing work that you do. I know rescue is, you know, just the people that volunteer and give their time. It's an amazing gift. And I would add to you that people should absolutely consider adopting a cat that 2, 3, 4, 10, 11. Not kittens aren't for everybody. And a wonderful thing you can do is go in and find one that matches your personality. You know what you're going to get when you get an adult cat. And adopting a senior is a wonderful thing to do. And nobody will ever regret it. They will give you so much love. So thank you for everything
so
you do.
Okay,
I hope
you.
That people come out and adopt.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. And just for others, because we've got a few people on the line and other emailers, and probably some others, just sort of a little cautionary note that just with the way things work here at WMNF and our license, we're not really allowed to mention the cost or price of any, including adoption or even anything if it's free. So just for other those who may be weighing in, there's no way for the Cat Haven woman to know that, but just so no other future costs or prices of things get mentioned, I'd appreciate it. So I'm way behind now on my own question, Sally, but one of those was the surgery that Marlon underwent, was that like exploratory surgery while he was still being diagnosed, or was that part of his treatment?
So I found a tiny little lump on Marlon, which to me initially did not mean cancer, but he was about due for his wellness check, so I brought him in. We took a look at it and biopsied it, and it came back mast cell. Now, typically in cats, they're cutaneous, so they're removed surgically and it's not a big deal. But I immediately knew, okay, I'm not going to take any chances. Let's get him over to his oncologist. And upon a full body check, she found an inflamed lymph node. Now, I think of myself as a savvy cat person, having lived through cancer before and being the president of the Brody Fund. I think of myself as being really well educated and knowing, and I could not feel this lymph node. I could not. So it really stresses the importance of getting to an oncologist, and that's why he had surgery. We needed to remove that mast cell and the lymph node so that we could then start the chemo.
Gotcha. All right, and a question that I'm further and further away from but want to get to, and I see one of our emailers has sort of the same kind of question. Since one of the things that the Brody Fund, as I understand it, helps do is pay for the treatment of pets in situations that fit the criteria that we'll discuss more in a moment. But what, just ballpark between what you've been through with Brody and are going through with Marlon, and just maybe more generally, what kinds of costs are people looking at for treatment and or meds that may be involved?
It's a very wide range, the cost. The average used to be about $4,000, but I'm seeing the average going up.
And excuse me one sec, Sally, sorry to interrupt, but that $4,000 covered what, typically, the average?
So that's an average. So that's coming in on average of likely chemotherapy treatments, because radiation is significant. significantly more.
Okay.
So Brody's protocol was $10,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So with Marlin, on average, our vet appointments range between $250 and $350 for every 2 weeks. So, you know, it would depend on the lifespan of your pet at that point, how much you're going to be looking at. And it depends upon, like, in Marlin's case, he will have chemotherapy the remainder of his life. Some, it's just a protocol. You'll have 4 rounds, you'll have 6 rounds, you'll have 12 rounds. So there are a lot of variables that go into cost. And then, like you said, there are other costs. Prednisone, for example, Marlin gets it and I have it compounded so I don't have to give him a pill. It's just easier for him. And I think the prednisone is about $80 and lasts about 4 to 6 weeks. So there are definitely other costs. And every case is different because cancer is so unpredictable. That sometimes we go in thinking it's going to be this amount and then it's less, or sometimes it's more. You know, we've had cases where grant recipients have been given survival time or a prognosis of 6 months, and a year later they're still with us. So cancer, there are so many variables. It's a very difficult question to answer, actually.
Right. I just think people, for a sense of ballpark for people who haven't yet been through it, and knowing that that's one of the kind of aims of the Brody Fund, I think at least even if it's pretty wide range, it gives us something to sort of look at specifically.
I mean, our grants have ranged anywhere where people have needed $500 of assistance to, in partnership with other organizations, we've been able to give up to $10,000 in assistance.
Wow. Okay.
We just actually funded a case for $8,400.
Okay.
So that gives you an idea of what the needs are. But some people can contribute a little bit, some people can't. You know, there's a lot of different things happening. And as I said, we really try to work with other organizations. If we can't fully fund, we help them navigate the application process for other organizations and talk to hospitals. Sometimes there's discounts available. So there are a lot of ways of meeting their needs.
Okay, so one quick question and then an email that may tie back into helping Bob, who called earlier. But when you said, talking about the prednisone that you compounded, I think is the phrase you used, what does that mean?
So some people have challenges giving cats pills, or it can become a behavioral issue where you can pill them, but over time they see you coming and hide. We don't want that. And so a liquid form can make it easier. So there are pharmacies, they're called compounding pharmacies, and they make the prednisone or prednisolone in a liquid form. So it's just a little syringe and squirt in the mouth, and that's often easier for dogs or cats. So it's an option. It is a little bit more expensive, but if it's available and is going to make your pet journey through the cancer treatment easier, it's something I definitely recommend.
Yeah. Now back to Bob's question about trying to get help with some of his outdoor community / feral cats. One of our emailers wrote in and said that that gentleman can check out the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for some help, and whether that's help with food, greatly discounted or even less. They also have feral community cat spay and neuter every Monday morning for cats that are in a trap. Sometimes that's very, very low cost, and occasionally, there are free vaccines that, at least for certain zip codes, sometimes of the year. So hopefully that's helpful to Bob and others that are doing some of the same great work that Bob is.
Yeah, and hopefully he got some help with the TNR to keep the population under control, because that will help to build.
Yeah, this emailer, I think, is suggesting there's all of the key kinds of help that Bob was seeking can be offered at least at one time or another.
He's definitely trying, and it's, you know, there's so many communities out there that need help with TNR. So I'm glad that he reached out, and it was nice for somebody to offer some assistance.
Absolutely. Let's get another caller involved. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sally Williams. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's you. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Do you have a question or comment for Sally?
Yes. You know, I have 2 cats, 2 dogs. Yes, the cats are always aloof, but I'm wondering why my female dog is staring into space.
You're wondering why the female dog is staring into space?
Yes. I keep telling my wife she's going senile, but she's like, no, that's not it at all.
Has the dog seen a vet?
Yes, we take them for their shots. We take them, you know, regularly.
I have a question. How old is your dog that's doing this?
She was a rescue, so I'm guessing she's 13.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not a veterinarian and not going to offer veterinary advice. However, I will say this, that dogs and cats can suffer from the same sort of cognitive issues that humans do in the aging process. So I would have a conversation with your vet about that.
Yeah, because I'm thinking she's senile and she's, like, ready to check out.
Well, I think as Sally suggests, I think at this point with the concerns that you have, I think the next step would be to have the vet check her out and see where we are.
The vet said she's fine.
All right.
Yeah, I would try to shift the conversation away from maybe physical and just inquire about cognitive issues in a senior pet. That might be a nice way to approach it.
Okay, that's cool.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
So,
Sally, we got one of our other emails saying, I spent $7,500 on radiation for my cat several years ago, and she died 2 months after that. I would never, ever do that to another animal again. So,
yeah, and unfortunately, because of the unpredictability of cancer, these things happen, and some people are left thinking, you know, they wouldn't treat again. And I think it just depends. It's a very, very personal choice. For me, the experience I had with Birdie, we had 13 months afterwards, so my experience was different. But unfortunately, like in humans, you know, sometimes the prognosis can be given longer and we have less time. And I'm terribly sad for her experience, and I hope that she never has to have this journey again. And it is, unfortunately, you know, until we advance further, and we will. There's so many new treatments that are going to be coming along. There are going to be times where we don't have the experience that we are hoping for, and I'm sorry that she was one that had that.
Yeah, me too.
And it's point, you know, I mean, I don't want to dismiss, or it is less common to have that experience just for other people out there, and that doesn't diminish her feelings and her feelings moving forward. I don't want it, but that is the less common experience, just not to scare people off of the conventional treatment. And there are alternatives out there if people do not want to pursue chemotherapy and radiation. In New Jersey here, and I don't know about, you know, all the different states out there, but we have a holistic oncologist that we work with that was Brody's and is Marlin's. Her name is Dr. Kendra Pope, and she is a holistic oncologist. And so Marlin also gets Chinese herbs and CBDs, and we've tried acupuncture. So there are times where people don't want to pursue what are considered the gold standard treatments, which are chemotherapy and radiation. There are other options out there.
Yeah. So we have just maybe a couple minutes or so left to Sally. This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Truss. My guest is Sally Williams, president and director of the Brody Fund, which helps pay for the treatment of pets diagnosed with cancer when their humans can't afford it, and in kind of specific, so far, veterinary hospitals in a few states. If you'd like to join the conversation or a moment or two, you can call 813-239-9663, email dj at WMNF.org, or text 813-433-0885. So maybe you could just outline a little bit how your own experience, obviously, with Brody spurred the creation of the Brody Fund. Talk briefly, if you could, I guess, a little bit about, you're in New Jersey, as you've noted to one of the callers, how it kind of began there, of course, naturally, and it has expanded, but your slow expansion and where people can get help at the moment, at least, through the Brody Fund.
Thank you. I'd love to talk about that. So it started, obviously, while Brody was going through treatment, because we were in the hospital 5 days a week, and I chose to wait, and I heard a lot of conversations, and I never want people to think that this was necessarily easy for us to just say, okay, $10,000. It wasn't, but we made it happen. And while I was sitting in the hospital, I heard other people that just couldn't do it. Treatment was not an option because financially they just couldn't swing it for whatever different reasons, many reasons. And I had a conversation with Brody's doctor and said, what happens in these situations? And he said, generally, it's like more of a hospice situation. They go home, they manage it, and the pet will pass away in a likely shorter period of time. You know, sometimes it's 3 to 4 months versus you could have a year, 2 years, or even remission. And that broke my heart, and the wheels just started turning. And I thought, you know, I really would like to help. So initially what I did was started the Brody Fund and started raising money under the umbrella of another organization, because I don't have a background in nonprofits, and I wanted to make sure that this was something that I could really do. And 6 months into this, I applied for our nonprofit status, and we will celebrate 3 years on our own just in 2 weeks, I think. Yeah. So at that point, we were in New Jersey and then expanded to Connecticut and New York. And then this January, we expanded out to Colorado in a kind of unique way. We're doing a slow and steady expansion, and I know it's hard. I want to help everybody that I can. But if we open up funding to the U.S., we would never have enough money. We wouldn't be able to help as many cases fully as we can. So we're trying to expand in a very thoughtful way so that we don't exhaust funding. Anybody who's in the fundraising world knows that that's the most difficult part of this, is to keep the money coming in. So when we expanded to Colorado, we did it in partnership with another nonprofit that had the same mission as the Brody Fund. And so when applications came in Colorado, we shared costs. So I think that might be a model moving forward in expansion, because we'll be able to help more pets if we partner directly with other nonprofits.
And also, too, I think a byproduct of the very slow expansion and or Colorado case and maybe subsequent ones teaming is that the grants still can be significant enough to really help people who are facing some serious expenses. And as you've noted, in most cases, whatever the course of treatment is, it is expensive.
Yes. I mean, there are nonprofits out there. When I did my research, I found many nonprofits cap at $1,000. And I also found a large number that I saw that they existed, but at about the 2 to 3 year mark, they stopped. And I thought, okay, I've got to research the reasons so that doesn't happen to us. You know, we don't want to reach a point where we just can't continue because of lack of funding. So that's why we're so thoughtful and expanding slowly. But on the flip side, I also realized that $1,000 to a case that needs $5,000, well-intentioned, isn't really helpful for anybody, because if they start treatment and have to stop because they don't have full funding, it doesn't benefit the pet, it doesn't benefit the owner, it doesn't benefit the hospital. It really doesn't. It doesn't really accomplish what we need to accomplish. And I'll quickly give you an example. We gave a grant last week to a beautiful cat named Lucy, and the case needed $8,400. And I knew we couldn't ourselves fully fund it. But this young woman was just amazing, and I have permission to share her story fully. I won't use her name, but her boyfriend was waiting a heart transplant. And it was just a heartbreaking case, and a case where this cat could have a good outcome. And I thought, we really need to change the way the direction of this woman's life is heading. So we were able to give $4,500. I reached out to two other nonprofits that also contributed. The hospital was able to discount the surgery. And I have an angel who anonymously donated $1,000. And within 2 days, we had $8,400, and she was fully funded.
That's
great. And I was able to make that phone call and say to her, this is off your plate. You can focus on now your boyfriend, who miraculously, an hour after we called her and gave her the news that Lucy was fully funded, his doctors came in and told him he had heart surgery that day.
Wow.
So this woman went from the two probably most important people in her life, you know, struggling to save their lives, done. And they're both coming home this week.
That's great. Well, Sally, I'm afraid we're not only at time, we're sort of well over our time now. So I just want to let folks know that the website is the Brody Fund. That's spelled B-R-O-D-I-E, thebrodyfund.org. And there's all kinds of information, including some sort of one-off grants that we didn't get a chance to discuss that are beyond the purview of the ones we did talk about.
Website.
But we are out of time now. So, Sally, thank you so much for joining us. It's been Sally Williams of the Brody Fund. Again, thebrodyfund.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for all your great work helping all these nice animals.
Thank you for having me on the show. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. Bye-bye. In a few moments, I'll speak to Thomas Ponce, who created Lobby for Animals when he was 12. He's 18 now, about to start college, and needs a little fundraising help himself, chiefly because his computer recently died and more. Right now, though, it's time to step into the Comedy Corner. This is a Talking Animals fave, Aaron Foley, who has a brand new album out called Deep Dive. In an episode to our feline-centric conversation with Sally Williams, here's a piece called Three Cats, new from Aaron Foley in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals on WMNF.
I'll tell you about my life in L.A. I am in my 40s, and I live with my twin sister, and we have three cats, because sometimes life just works out. We have three cats. That's 2.5 too many. two of them are sweet, sweet, sweet furry babies. And then there's the third, Big Mo. He's an instigator. He's a wild card. I don't make eye contact with him. He smokes in the house. He gets all his energy and will to live around 1 a.m. And he goes into the other bedroom and wakes up the other two sleeping cats. And he's like, psst, it's go time. And that is the nightly signal that kicks off the training sessions for the 2019 Cat Olympics. Starts with the 100-meter dash, then the 200-meter dash. Just running, running, running all over the house. And then the long jump where Big Mo long jumps himself onto the bed. I start screaming. The other two cats come in the room to measure the jump. Then it's the debut of a new sport called cabinet banging. Just bang, 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 bang. All night long. And then the crash, the crash, the crash at 4 a.m. They get you out of bed and you run downstairs and the kitchen broom has been knocked over because they've started curling. And you snap, and you snap, and you scream at them like they're people. You scream at them like they know what you're talking about. You're like, I can't actually do this one more night. I'm exhausted. You're going to be asleep all day tomorrow. I'm going to be a zombie. I can't do this one more night. It's just three cats, six eyeballs looking up at you like, how are we supposed to get better if we can't practice?
All right, that was Erin Foley with a piece called Three Cats, taken from her new album, Deep Dive. Now let's talk with Thomas Ponce, who created an animal welfare organization called Lobby for Animals at age 12. He's 18 now, about to start college. There's a little fundraiser underway for him, mainly to replace his computer, which recently died. So this is Thomas Ponce back on Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
Good. Thanks for rejoining us on Talking Animals. And we spoke, obviously, at length on the show 3 years ago. But still, tell me, for folks who may not have heard that or be familiar, tell me a little bit about how you became a young animal advocate and specifically how you came to found Lobby for Animals.
Well, essentially, I had seen that there was a severe lack of governmental participation at the citizen level. You know, a lot of people want to make change in government, but not, you know, they don't necessarily know how to do it. And, you know, after I did some research when I was younger and discovered lobbying, the little light bulb kind of went off in my head, and I founded Lobby for Animals. I want to basically educate people on how to properly lobby their legislators, because, you know, I feel it's a tool that is very important but severely underused.
And I think what we talked about a few years ago in more detail than we have a chance to today is that I think it's your feeling, and obviously shared by many, that that's really the most effective way, lobbying, to really truly affect change that's going to help the animal welfare conditions for all kinds of animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you just finished up high school. Is that correct? Do I have this right?
I did. I graduated 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So what's next?
Well, currently, colleges is up next. I'll be starting that in the fall, which is also incredibly important. It's an important factor as to why I need to get a new computer.
Right. Yeah. So I guess basically the computer just sort of crashed or died or burned or all those things?
I'd say an amalgamation of all those horrible things.
Yeah. So not only for school and college purposes, but as I think I mentioned at the top of the show, that even like you have software on there, or did when it was functioning, that would track kind of the status of various legislative bills and other things.
Correct. I utilize a program known as TrackBill, which it tracks legislation in live time, and that is an incredibly important tool in my organization. It's actually up for renewal right now, which is also another reason why I'm currently in need of funding, as I would normally raise the money out of my own pocket. However, I just can't afford it this year.
Right, and is there also probably some slight catch-22 there about like being down for your computer and some other things that would normally be resources and tools you would use to try to at least raise some of that money or solve some of those problems? You're unable to do so. So for folks listening who want to find out more about either Lobby for Animals and or maybe try to help you out a little, where is either the website and or Facebook page or other social media where they could do so?
Well, if anybody wanted to get in contact with me or look at the fundraiser, you can go to my Facebook at Thomas Ponce. And if you're interested in looking at Lobby for Animals, you can go to lobbyforanimals.org. There I have a ton of resources on how to properly lobby your legislators and just, you know, a lot of helpful tips and information that will get you started on that path.
Right. And we should point out that Ponce is P-O-N-C-E. And we should also point out, although I think I did at least one time already, that you founded this organization when you were 12, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. Yeah. I think that's the very definition of precocious in the best sense of the word. So, okay. So we can go to Ponce, Thomas Ponce on Facebook or lobbyforanimals.org to find out more about the organization and if people do want to help out. And what do you know what you're going to study in college, by the way?
Well, once I get into college after the first few years, I plan on going into a major in psychology.
Okay.
It's a field that I find incredibly interesting.
Okay. I wondered if you might have more of a political science or other sort of advocacy bent, or if you feel like you've already kind of learned a lot of that just by hands-on and experience. So that'll be great to kind of mix that with psychology and stuff. So, So, Thomas, that's great. Well, good luck. We hope that you make the rest of your fundraiser and get back up and running with the computer and helping all the animals as a result. So, and good luck with school and keep us posted on stuff. So I'm sure we'll talk again on the show.
Thank you so much, Duncan, for having me. It's been great to talk to you again.
Likewise, Thomas. Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lurie with Radioactivity, extending this four-hour block of interviews, phone calls, news, and more, including the noon-hour midpoint with Nola Lele. Then at 1 p.m., John Gilmore presides over executive session. Then the music kicks back in at 2 p.m. with Scott Elliott on the All Souls edition of It's the Music. Want to let you know while I have a moment still left to say that support comes from Live Nation, presenting OAR with special guests American Authors in Hunter Tones June 19th at Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. Get more info at themahaffey.com. So we're at the tail end of our show. As I said, next week, my guest will be St. Pete Mayor Rick Kreisman, who will be in studio, probably streaming on Facebook. And we'll just be a discussion of the national movement that St. Pete's part of Better Cities for Pets and other things as well. So that's next Wednesday at Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa, NPR News Headlines, and then Rob Lurie up next.